Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome into the NFL Free For All. I'm your host, Brian Hughes, alongside my co-host, Mr. Norm Arendez. The show is brought to you by the Sports City Chefs. Check us out at sportscitychefs.com. We are going to continue to have shows here for you. Man, Norm, I am super hyped for tonight. In the words of one of the great wide receivers, better get your popcorn ready. How you doing tonight?
Doing good. Ready to go. Ready to finally get this show going again.
Well, I am super excited. I know we've had some issues, some complications. We're to work that out. I just want to give a special shout-out to TP Timeless, to the Sports City Chefs Network, for working with us through this difficult time. But we are back, ladies and gentlemen. We do have the NFL kicking off this Thursday. I know a lot of people want to know how these divisions are supposedly going to shake out, which teams to look for, which could be sleeper teams, and, oh, by the way, which champions from last year are the most susceptible to fall this year. But before I go any further, Norm, we do have Mr. TP Timeless here in the building. Let me go ahead and bring him on in. Ty, how you doing tonight?
I was listening, but I just took off the blazer, loosened up the tie, stepped aside the kitchen. Timeless is alive. I'm happy that football is starting and want to see what that got mustered up in the kitchen, and I want to put some picks in, at least see how y'all feel for Thursday night, too. So I'm ready.
Well, Ty, we are ready as well, and Norm, I know you are ready as well. I want to do a semi-brief. A lot of this will depend on how many people come in, as you boys know. But I'd like to do a semi-brief analysis of each division for people on what to expect. And then look at the slate of games and maybe talk about the games that, how we think these games might play out. But, Norm, I want to start with you, and I'm going to start in the AFC West. There's been a lot of change in the AFC West, as you know. Phillip Rivers is out. The Raiders have moved to Vegas. They're the sexy pick right now. Everybody's talking about all the weapons they have on offense. How do you see this division shaking out, 1 through 4, and who are the difference makers going to be for each team?
Yeah, it's kind of a homer pick, but the Chiefs, I think, still stay champions within that division, and they will have a tough schedule. It's not going to come easy, and it's not just the fact I'm a fan of them, but I just think that the Chiefs' ability to score, and I think their defense is really going to surprise a lot of people. They've Alex Okafor, who's never been a superstar in the league, but is a good veteran. He's back and healthy. They signed Taco Charlton, a little under-the-radar signing for defensive end. We got Willie Gay, a lot of asterisks there, but if he comes in and plays with speed that we need from the linebacker position, I think you're going to see this defense of Kansas City in their second year with Spagnuolo. I think you're going to see them really light it up. And let me tell you this, with the amount of points that KC scores, and I'm willing to say that they're going to score probably over 30 points every single game this year, their defense at any elevation from last year should put them right in the hunt again. So I still give it to KC, After that, I'm going to be honest with you. The Chargers, the Broncos, and the Raiders have all gotten better. And I think the three of them are going to be fighting for wild card spots. I do still give the Raiders a little bit of an edge there. I think it has to do with continuity. They're going into their third year with Gruden, third year with the same quarterback. They continue to add, and it seems to be continuing to get better. Depends on who you talk to, but I like some of the pickups they made. I think I kind of see what Gruden is doing, and I wouldn't be surprised to see them come in and snag a wild card spot. After that, I'll nod it over to the Chargers. It's really going to be dependent on Tyrod Taylor, and I really like him as a quarterback, and I like his mobility, but he just, you know, can he win the big games, the ones that they need to get into that 10-6, 11-5 range? The defense is good, but injuries are always a problem. But I still think the Chargers you're going to see are going to put forth a good year. And then the Broncos, they could go 6-10 or they can go 10-6. They're kind of a crapshoot, but I do think they're going to be better than they were last year. So that's my rundown for the AFC West.
Ty, I'm not going to do the exact same thing because I kind of feel like that would be redundant. But I do want to ask you, because I think everybody's primarily going to feel like the Chiefs are probably the front runner, the Super Bowl winners. Who's the second best team in this division, and who's the second best quarterback in this division? CP, are you there?
I think
I'm sorry. That's a very good question about the quarterback. The second team, I will give the Raiders the edge right now. I'm going to give the Raiders because they have a new atmosphere. Vegas has already gone crazy. As you know, Brian, I go to Vegas every December. I've seen the new stadium. It's ridiculous. I can just imagine them being receptive to them. But the Raiders had already announced that they won't have any home fans for the remainder of the season. But I think it may improve if things improve across the board. But I'm putting a lot of pressure on Carr. Like, Carr cannot have a lackadaisical season. So that's why this makes it tough. Because either if Tyrod Taylor starts or if they put Herbert in there, it's going to be interesting how things pan out in Los Angeles for the Chargers. But right now I'm going to give Carr the edge. But I really see it going, you know, 1, 2, 3, 4 being the Chiefs, the Raiders, Broncos, Chargers. I really think like the Chargers have more to prove right now, but I'm putting a lot of pressure on Carr. There's no escaping this with the money that they threw to him. So I go second place quarterback being Carr.
All right, I'm gonna give my info here, and then we do have another caller in queue. We'll get to him here in a second, guys. You know I do a little bit of prep for every show that we do, and one of the things that I try to do is I try to throw some stats. You know, that's my thing. So I thought it was interesting. Did you guys know that in the entire NFL, the history of the NFL, quarterbacks that have at least 1,000 passing attempts, only Aaron Rodgers has a lower turnover percentage than Tyrod Taylor. He doesn't turn the ball over, and anybody that is a Chargers fan will tell you, Phillip, you win with Phillip and you lose with Phillip. He may have a 5-interception game, and he may turn around and have a 6-touchdown game. That's not the type of play you're going to get from Tyrod Taylor, but what I can almost guarantee you you're not going to get is you're not going to get the 3-4 turnover game. And that's really going to be key for them to have a legitimate shot. I don't think anybody here, including the Chiefs, and that's no disrespect to Chris Jones, but nobody in this division has a better pass rush than the Chargers. The Chargers can just absolutely get after the quarterback. And Norm, as a Chiefs fan, you could attest to this. The Chiefs have a heck of a time with the Chargers. Every year they have a hard time with them. The pass rush is tenacious. You get Bosa on one side and Ingram on the other side. It causes problems. If Tyrod Taylor can just be the guy that he's been in his career up until this point, I think the Chargers might just sneak into the playoffs. I could totally see them being a 9-7 team and sneaking into the playoffs and people being shocked about that. So that's something that, that I wanted to bring up. Go ahead.
I was going to interject real quick. If you're saying that the Chiefs always have a hard time with the Chargers, let's rephrase that as in they're always entertaining games because they're close. But I want to say for the last 5 years, I think the Chiefs are actually like 9-1. So just want to put that little asterisk in there.
Right. I'm not talking about who wins. What I'm talking about is even last year, the game was in doubt right up until, and this was in order for you guys to secure home field advantage. Late in the season,
yeah,
like week 15 or 16, and the Chargers hung with you. And I believe
yeah,
Phillip Rivers even threw a pick in that game that kind of sealed the game for the Chiefs. Once again, Phillip Rivers
yeah,
makes some incredible Dude. Plays, but I will tell you, I think that what they're looking for is something that they're looking for consistency. They're looking for that Alex Smith mold. Game manager that's not going to turn the ball over. You got Austin Eckler. They've got Hunter Henry. They've got some weapons there. It'll be interesting to see what happens. But let me bring in the caller. He's been waiting for a few seconds here. Caller from the 973, you're on with the Sports City Chefs. How you doing tonight?
All right. Just waiting for the season to start, of course.
Yeah. Absolutely. Who's your team, man?
I actually have two teams, to be honest with you. I have the Jets in the AFC, and I have the Cowboys in the NFC.
Okay, very good, very good. So do you have a
I know you're thinking.
I know
you're thinking too.
No,
what's a guy from New Jersey? I know what you're thinking. What's a guy from New Jersey rooting for the Dallas Cowboys for?
Yeah, you know what? That's actually a really good point because my my entire family on my dad's side is all from Newark, and it's almost blasphemous to root for anybody but the Giants, as I'm sure you know.
I've been told.
Yeah. So let me ask you a couple questions. How are you feeling about your two teams this year, the Jets and the Cowboys? Cowboys number one offense last year. Jets surprisingly a top 10 defense last year. Is this the year that Sam Darnold makes the jump and really compels them to the playoffs?
If this is not the year that it, then I think Darnold's going to be gone. But I do think that you know there was momentum from the second half of the season. From that horrible first half we had, from his little bouts with mono and then seeing ghosts and whatnot, which was probably directly right to the mono to begin with. But I think he's getting all past that now. He's gotten all out of his system. So I think he's going to have a better year, and maybe this will be his shining moment. If not, then there's going to be a lot of questions raised at the end of the season. But based from what I saw from, like, mid-October on the end of the season, I think the Jets do have something to build on. So I think this is going to be a good year for them. I don't think they're going to have to take Buffalo for the division, but I think they're going to make a very strong case for the wild card.
All right, I got one last question for you about the Jets, and I appreciate you calling in. What was your name?
I'm sorry, it's Louie from New Jersey.
Louie, I appreciate that, man.
Yeah.
How do you feel about the Jamal Adams trade? Young guy, probably the best safety in the league by a lot of accounts, and they traded him away. What was your feelings as a Jets fan on that?
Well, I'll put it this way. I was like, say what? I mean, he wasn't happy with us, so if you're not happy and you don't want to play there, well, then you're somebody else's problem now. I mean, you know, that's how it works. I mean, despite how he did help us late in the season, he just didn't want to be there. So now he's going out west, and he – It's your problem now, buddy.
Louie, great point. I do appreciate it. I got some more teams to cover here, but I really appreciate the call. Do you have a question for us before we move on?
Well, you mentioned the Jets. Where do you? I give you my analysis for the Jets, but what do you think the Jets will do this season? I mean, how far do you think they'll go?
I think that's a great question, and this is. This is not a cop-out answer, but I'm going to tell you the truth. The Jets will go as far as Sam Darnold takes them. As we saw last year, like you said, and I actually told a few people this here in the Sports City Chef's Kitchen, I think Darnold actually made a case for himself as the most valuable player last year, not in the context of winning the award, but when you watch the slew of quarterbacks that tried to perform like Simeon and some of those other guys behind that porous offensive line, and the fact that Bell was averaging less than 3 yards a carry, And then what the offense became once he came back and got inserted into that starting lineup. Hey, if he takes another step this year, if he takes a similar step this year, this team could be very dynamic. The one concern I have is Roddy Anderson, right? That role, the speedster, the guy that's going to stretch the field, because Crowder's going to work the underneath stuff really well, but you're going to need somebody that can take the top off, somebody that can stretch the field, that can allow Bell to get catches out of the backfield, that is going to allow Crowder to work underneath. It'll be interesting to see what the Jets do, but I will tell you, if the Jets have a similar performance this year as they did last year defensively, and I can't imagine they're not going to be better this year offensively, which means less time on the field defensively, I agree with you. I think that they could be one of those teams, sleeper teams, that could end up at 8-8 or so and be vying for a playoff card. Because remember, we have two additional teams this year that will be making the playoffs.
Yes.
Yeah, I like the Jets at 8-8, and I see them as a home team. I see them going 6-2 at home, 2-6 on the road. I always liked Greg Williams' defenses. Say what you want about the guy's character, but he can definitely field a good defense. Love his schemes. Definitely pick up their fantasy team on for defense on football or fantasy football. But I see them as 8-8 and more of a home team winning.
All right.
All right, Louie. Well, thank you so much. I hope that info gave you a little bit of insight how we feel. We're going to continue to go through the divisions as well
all
as
right.
talk about your Cowboys here in a little bit.
Thanks.
Thank you so much. Continue to listen. All right, Sirius, I'm bringing you on board. Sirius, how you doing tonight?
You know, man, it's such a pleasure to hear everybody, man. Football is back. Let's get to work.
You know, it's primarily good to hear me. Just be honest.
Well, you know, man, be you, man. It's been a while, Playboy. It's been a while, man. Hope everybody's good.
It has been, man. You know what? We're blessed. We have this opportunity. We're in the Sports City Chef's Kitchen. We got great callers like Louie, and I got my boys here. We're talking about the AFC West right now. And my question to you, because I kind of got the breakdown, I don't think anybody's going to shy away from the Chiefs being the number one team in this division. But my question to you is, we've got a lot of turnover at the running back position, whether it be due to COVID, free agency. You got Melvin Gordon gone, Damian Williams gone. So you have a lot of new faces. So my question to you is, AFC West, who's going to be the bell cow? Who's going to be the number one running back in this division?
Honestly, man, I'm looking right at the Las Vegas Raiders. It's going to be Josh Jacobs. Honestly, in my opinion, I mean, the way Gruden likes to have a feature running back and likes to pound the rock, and honestly takes a lot of pressure off of David Carr, and having had to win games and try to be somebody that he's not. He's not a gunslinger. He's a glorified game manager. And when you put David Carr in positions where he's just trying to clean the ball a little place, he gets himself in trouble. So it's going to be Josh Jacobs for me, man. Like, I mean, I understand, you know, Edwards Helaire and, you know, the Kansas City Chiefs, they're going to be what they are. But when the dust settles, I think Josh Jacobs is going to really do some work in this division as far as running the football.
All right, good point. Norm, as my co-host, I'm going to give you the last word on this division. Which defense in this division, what's the best defense in this division in your opinion?
Well, if you know, I mean, like I said, you guys know I'm biased on that, and I'm not going to go based on a guess or a hope, but I think Chiefs are going to be good, but I'm still going to have to give the best defense award to the Chargers. They took a massive blow with Derwin James going out again. And you know, I'll be honest with you, it for me, it even sucks. I know it helps as a Chiefs fan. We don't have to face the guy, but if the Chargers could actually field all the talent they have, I mean, they're a damn good defense. And like you said, if the turnovers minimize, I mean, they're going to win more games. It's that simple. But they definitely have, I want to say, the best unit going from last year into this year. Does someone overtake them this year? Maybe, but that's yet to be seen. So I'll give that to Chargers.
All right, Ty, I'm going to you. This is we're switching divisions here. AFC South, Houston Texans, Tennessee Titans, Indianapolis Colts, and the Jacksonville Jaguars. As you guys know, Houston Texans won this division last year. The Titans made it to the championship game. They were a wild card team. They got hot and got on a roll. I do think that this is worth noting. I know it's a little fodder, but in the ESPN power rankings that just came out today, and I just want to let you guys know where these teams are at, because I was at least a little shocked. So I was looking for the teams. You have the Colts at 14, the Titans at 16, and then you have to scroll way down to 24 for the Houston Texans, which, you know, I thought was kind of a slap in the face. Ty, Jacksonville, I think we all know, is going to finish last. But, Ty, 24th out of 32 teams, do you think the loss of Hopkins is going to make them drop off that much?
I'm going to be – let me clear my throat. I'm going to be completely honest. I don't know if it's supposed to be that low, but that's what they get. That's exactly what they get. You mean to tell me you just cooked up like jalapenos right now because I'm hot. You mean to tell me you get rid of DeAndre Hopkins and then put it all on the shoulders of J.J. Watt? Like, I know Deshaun Watson just got hit off with that big old contract, and I love Deshaun. Deshaun's a great quarterback, and I think Bill O'Brien had called him the Michael Jordan of the draft when they got him out of Clemson. And I'm big on Deshaun, don't get me wrong. But now you got to establish yourselves as the true offense now because your defense is what it is. J.J. Watt has been injured for the past 4 or 5 years straight. Like you, as much as y'all want him to be the face of Houston, he's not. He's not. He hasn't been on the field, but he has a ton of money, and he's lovable across the country. Like, forget just being in Houston and lovable, but them being 24th, that's what they get. I don't think they should be that low, but Bill O'Brien gets what he asked for. And I'm going to tell you this. I'm going to say this on air right now. If the Texans finish 8-8 or lower, Bill O'Brien is fired. I'm saying that right now in the early portion of September.
Not bad.
All right, hot take. Sirius, I'm going to come over to you. What's your thoughts about this division? We just talked about Phillip Rivers leaving the Chargers. He's now part of this division. You heard Ty's take on the Houston Texans and his thoughts. How do you feel about this division, and where do you see it going?
You know, honestly, man, for me, the Houston Texans still have the best quarterback in this division. So for that, I do give them respect. And kind of, you know, a shot. I mean, once you have that dude, that bell cow, that signal caller, you can do a lot of different things. With that being said, I mean, what's the over under how many games J.J. Watt's going to play for this team? This dude is always getting hurt. He, you know, unfortunately, he's great when he's on the field, but he can't stay healthy. We all saw what the Tennessee Titans were able to accomplish a season ago. Can they repeat that? Ryan Tannehill is now the guy under center. They really, you know, didn't really address too much on the outside as far as receiver. You know, in the draft, they got Brown, they got John Smith, but, you know, their bread is buttered hand in that rock off to Derrick Henry, who just got broke off this offseason. And they're going to play a stellar defense, you know what I'm saying? They just picked up Jadeveon Clowney. So that defense is going to be flying around and making plays for them. So, honestly, it's going to be Tennessee at the head of the division. I can see Indianapolis and Houston battling it out for 2-3, respectively. Obviously, Jacksonville is where the Jacksonville Jaguars are going to be. But I'm not about to start echoing Ty because, you know, I really can't stand him a lot of times. But Billy O'Brien's at the right for that dude. You know, Houston fans want him gone. Teammates want him gone. We all are aware of what happened in that little beef between he and D-Hop, which led to him being gone. It's a wrap for Billy. That he has to literally win the division and go deep in the playoffs before his job is saved. So, but I got to tell you, Titans winning this division.
Yo, you come like on air picking on me. That's terrible.
Yo, yeah. I let you breathe for a while, sir. A while.
Norm, what's your thoughts on this division? I will tell you, unless you're a huge Phillip Rivers guy, I think it's pretty clear Deshaun Watson is probably the best quarterback. I don't think what he said is inaccurate. What's your thoughts on this division and how it's going to play out?
Yeah, this is the tightest division. Well, I can't say it's the tightest division. This is a division that I'm constantly looking at because it's in the AFC side, but very even. I do believe Deshaun Watson is the best quarterback. Them being ranked at 24th, that's pretty stiff. You know what's interesting is the Texans changed, but no one can say they got better. When you lose DeAndre Hopkins, you know, everyone thinks, oh, that's it. And again, it's hard to imagine what they're going to do without him. But they did get Brandon Cooks, and I know he doesn't always stay healthy, but Brandon Cooks can spread the field. Brandon Cooks has been a winner with the Patriots, with the Rams, with the Saints. Brandon Cooks went undrafted in my fantasy draft, and I picked him up on waivers. That's how much people have forgotten. And again, it's all hypothetical. We don't know. But they did try to fill the void with Brandon Cooks. And if he comes out and has a good year, hey, you know what? It's not going to be like DeAndre Hopkins. DeAndre Hopkins is much better, but it does kind of fill the void. They added David Johnson. Everyone's written him off, including me. I never thought he was great even after his big year, but he's still a great athlete. Does Bill O'Brien create different sets? Does he get him in open space? Do they do two tight end sets where he's got more? I mean, you don't know what could happen. And I just still think the Texans are a sneaky team. I just don't think they got better. I do think that, in my opinion, Tennessee and Baltimore are going to stumble from their blocks from last year. I don't think they're going to be as good. And I'm going on a limb on that because Lamar Jackson is incredible. But if he has more mistakes and overthinks it and they try to change him and say, we want you to do this more, that's one thing coaches do. Sometimes you got to leave good alone. And coaches, you know, sometimes say, we want you to do this more. Let 14 wins, let that go. Let him do his thing. But if they try making him stay in the pocket a little more, all of a sudden he forces things. Watch Baltimore drop off to a 10-11 campaign this year. So that whole division, I can't even rank it for you. And the Colts are just kind of right there under the radar. That's a tough one. But that's my input on it. I really don't know what's going to happen in that division.
Yeah, you know, I will tell you guys, just gut feeling, you know, knowing football the way that I do, everybody has a gut feeling. I kind of feel like Tennessee was a flash in the pan. Like I can't bring myself to support and believe that Ryan Tannehill is going to lead a team to a playoff berth. I really can't. I'm not saying that it's not going to happen. I know their defense is incredible. And their running game is incredible. But I think a lot of that, too, is, as you guys know, when you've been preparing all year to face a certain guy like Marcus Mariota, and now all of a sudden you put a different quarterback in there, it changes schemes. It changes what you do. It changes who you are identity-wise as a team. Plus, a lot of the other guys are going to rally around you. Tannehill's been paid, and I'm not saying they're going to be bad. I'm not even saying that their record's going to be any different, per se. They were 9-7 last year. I have them at 7-9. I think the Colts are going to be better this year. That's my opinion. But I still have the Houston Texans probably as the best team in the division. Don't forget that Will Fuller was injured for multiple games last year. J.J. Watt was injured for multiple games last year. And these are two of their studs. I mean, J.J. Watt is literally the heart and soul of that defense. And he was injured for multiple games last year. I mean, he rushed back in the playoffs just to try and help this team compete. I think we all pretty much agree that Jacksonville is probably going to be in the basement. But I think Norm hit it on the head, man. I mean, if you were to tell me at the end of the year that the Colts won this division, the Titans won this division, or the Texans won this division, I don't think any of us would be shocked. I do think that one thing that is worth noting is turnovers. So – another thing, prepping for the show. So all the teams that made the playoffs, if you look at the top 10 teams in turnover differential last year, which you guys know fluctuates from year to year, But if you look at the top 10 teams in turnover differential last year, the only team from that division to rank in the top 10 was the Tennessee Titans. So do the Tennessee Titans still maintain that opportunistic defense? And do the Houston Texans all of a sudden get better at creating turnovers? Or do the Colts become better at creating turnovers? Because last year, they weren't very good. You know, I mean, neither one of those two teams were great at it. The Houston Texans were even, which puts them outside the top 15, and the Colts ended up 12th, you know, I mean, just on the bubble there. But the Tennessee Titans were the only team in the top 10. So I do think that that's worth noting. I do want to move on to the next division because, like I said, we got a lot to get through. And the next division, I'm afraid we might run over that 20-minute mark, and that is the AFC East. There has quite possibly been no division that's had more scrutiny or more press this offseason than the New England Patriots and the parting between Belichick and Tom Brady. I bring that up because Norm really wanted to talk about Cam Newton going to New England. I know how excited you are to talk about that, Norm. But, Norm, I want you to kick us off here. New England, they've got Cam, so they got a quarterback now. You got Buffalo. You heard us talk a little bit about the Jets. You heard Louie listening in, his Jets. And then you got the Miami Dolphins, which not huge news, as you guys know, but Fitzpatrick was named the starter. They did go ahead and release Josh Rosen. So with all that said, where do you see this division playing out this year? Is this going to be status quo? Is it going to be the Patriots division again? Or is there a new sheriff in town, if you will?
Well, I'll start by saying I was already wrong. I didn't think Cam Newton was going to play one snap. I thought that was more of a get him on our side and we'll chip him for a six-round pick midseason. So I was wrong about that. And to be honest with you, the Patriots, until someone dethrones them, I mean, I just can't go away from it. And it has to do with, and as much as I can't stand Belichick, I can't stand him in the sense that, it's always something he comes up with and changes this, changes that. And just as a fan, you watch it and you want to see him lose because they won so much. It's just the dick comes up with a freaking way to win every time. And it's irritating. But that's why they're great, you know. Now, he doesn't have his queen, you know, in the back, Tom Brady doing everything for him. So we'll see. But I still have to say the Patriots are the pick. And after that, the other three, I mean, obviously Buffalo has more continuity than the other teams. So I would give them an edge, and that's going to depend on if Allen continues to play well. And then the Jets and Dolphins, I like what they're doing, and I think they're going to be better. So them being better, all that's going to do is pressure the Patriots up top, and it makes, like I say, I see teams like the Dolphins and Jets winning a lot of games at home. So now all of a sudden, you know, the Patriots aren't going, you know, 10-0 just because they win their home games and beat up on those kids. So they got their work cut out for them, but I'm still going to give the nod to the Patriots.
All right, interesting. Sirius, I'm going to come over to you. You could, you know, they always have the Dos Equis commercial with the most interesting man in football. Potentially, we could put the AFC East picture in place of that because this is the most interesting division in football, perhaps. What's your thought on how this division is going to play out? And do the Patriots continue to keep rolling with Cam Newton as their starter?
You know, honestly, man, I think them getting Cam Newton puts them in the playoff mix. I just honestly believe that having Tom Brady counted and covered up a multitude of sins that, you know, Cam Newton, even though he's a great, you know, decent quarterback, is not going to be able to uncover. Also keep in mind that the New England Patriots are missing significant contributors to that defense and that team due to them opting out for COVID-19 reasons. So for that, you know what I'm saying, I don't see how the New England Patriots, quote-unquote, keep this thing rolling. Now, with that being said, you know, Josh McDaniels did make Tim Tebow into a legitimate quarterback. You know, Bill Belichick needs no endorsement from me or anybody else sitting here. So they're going to be prepared as possible, but at the end of the day, you strap up and play with the best 11, and I don't think that
you know, they have the best 11 in that division. I think this is going to be a Buffalo Bills team that really seizes the opportunity and rises to the occasion. They went all in and finally got, you know, Allen some weapons to play with, you know, acquiring Stephon Diggs, going out and picking up Zach Moss, you know, drafting him. Cole Beasley's there in his second year. John Brown is there in their second year. And, oh, let's not forget, this is one of the best defenses in the damn league from a season ago. I think the Buffalo Bills are really going to come in there and do work, and I think it's the Buffalo Bills' division. I think the Patriots have beat, you know, compete at the second spot. I'm not buying anything that the New York Jets are selling. I don't care. I don't care. And I say again, I don't care. You just don't trade away Jamal Adams like that and expect to get better. C.J. Mosley, their best, you know, linebacker, opted out due to COVID-19 reasons. So that defense is not going to be any better. They did address an offensive line issue. But once again, you're counting on, you know, Jamison Crowder. You're counting on a rookie and Denzel Mims. I'm not doing it. And please don't get me started on the Miami Dolphins right now. Don't even get me started there. I do like the fact that they were able to acquire a couple guys via the draft. I do like their coach. I think he's putting them in the right direction, them being able to go down and pick up Jordan Howard, the free agency, who has something to prove. It was big for them. But, again, Fitzpatrick is the starter. You know, how much short of a rope is he going to have before Tua gets in there? We all love Fitzmagic. We all understand, like you said, when you're talking about Phillip Rivers, Fitzpatrick is going to give you 5 touchdown games, and he's also going to give you 5 turnover games at the same time. So we'll see what happens. But, yeah, I think this is Buffalo's division to win here.
All right, Ty, I'm coming over to you. So it sounds like everybody expects New England to be right in the thick of things with Miami and the Jets kind of on the bottom. Is that how you see this division playing out? Or do you see the Bills outright taking this division?
It's going to be interesting because the Bills got more pieces now, especially with Diggs going over there. Thank goodness he's out of the North. I'm glad that he's gone. So Thielen, well, the Vikings still put weapons there anyway, but he was causing mayhem. But I feel bad in saying this. They not stopping Darth Vader and that empire up there in Massachusetts. They can't. And let alone, you got to think about it like this. Cam Newton is out to prove a point. He's been underpaid. They gave him a 1-year contract. He's in an offense that he's used to playing. They usually work that run pass option. You know what I'm saying? So now instead of Brady, you know, usually even handing the ball off a pass, and Cam is an option to run instead of Brady taking off at the 1-yard line and getting a QB sneak. Like, Cam is an option in between the 20s. That's big. So, like, this makes defense have to keep those seven-man packages on it to try and defend him in the running game, but let alone they may have lost 1 or 2 pieces defensively, but that's still a top 3, top 5 defense over there. They're still going to stop people. So, and that's what they specialize in, is on the defensive side of the ball, point differential things work out in New England's favor. So the Bills really have to come out and prove the point that they can not only win games, but they got to score. The Bills don't really put up those 24, 27-point games. Like, they're going to have to go out there and put that up to prove that they can win the AFPs. If they don't, and they do it, that's impressive. But I still think this is Bill Belichick and Cam with a chip on his shoulder by far. I'm going with New England by far.
Guys, one thing that I think that I don't know if this plays into it or if you guys have thought about this, but I think it's at least worth mentioning. So I'm just going to name off some names. Marcus Cannon, starting left guard. Dante Hightower, middle linebacker. Patrick Chung, starting safety. Malakos, second string tight end. Brandon Bolden, second string running back. Dan Vitale, starting fullback. Marquise Lee, he was acquired in the offseason, so we don't know yet. And then guard Najee Turan, who was also a starting guard last year. That's the list of people that opted out due to COVID concerns this year. I mean, I don't know how we talk about this and not bring that up. When you have multiple Pro Bowlers and 5 starters that opt out, it's got to at least cause you to pause, right? Now, some people are saying, hey, it's because they – absolutely, but I'm saying some people are saying it's because they don't – they have as much of a chance. This was before, you know, they got Cam Newton. Some people are saying, hey, it's because concerns, all the different things. But all I'm saying is remember the Bills were also a top-five defense last year. And remember the Bills literally up until the last week were right there with the Patriots fighting for the division. And they did make the playoffs. And I got to tell you guys, I think they only got better. Josh Allen's got a huge arm. Now, granted, he needs to refine a little bit here in year three. But they got this guy by the name of Stephon Diggs, who's a pretty good receiver that can stretch the field. And I really like him. I think this is the Bills' year. This is my one clause for the Patriots. I've heard so many people on sports talk radio talk about, you know, it's going to be cool to see the New England Patriots running the RPO and this and that. And I'm going to tell you guys right now, I'm saying it here first on Sports City. If the Patriots use Cam Newton in that way, they're idiots. The guy has proven that he can be an MVP caliber quarterback. Do not allow this guy to be absolutely manhandled and beat up and pushed around and, you know, helmets driven into him and all that other good stuff. Because as soon as you, just like they do with Lamar Jackson, and I have an issue with that as well, but you cannot allow these guys to become a runner when they're the face of your franchise and get beat up the way that quarterbacks do that run those RPOs. Look, everybody says, oh, he's big, man. Look where Cam Newton has been the last 2 years. He's been injured. You know, I'm not making excuses, but I do believe that Cam Newton be in a way different place right now in his career if he didn't run so many RPOs, if he didn't have to get so many short yardage touchdowns, if he didn't have to put his team on his back to try and pick up a first down to close out a game. It is worth noting. And I do think that when you look at the pieces around Cam Newton, some people might think I'm crazy. I think the pieces were better in Carolina than they are here. I really do. That's my opinion. But I don't think he's in a better offensive situation. Everybody thinks he's in a better offensive situation. I'm like, I don't know. I saw Christian McCaffrey. I saw, you know, Greg Olsen. You know, I saw, you know, DJ Moore. I mean, I saw some pretty decent wide receivers, pretty decent running back, pretty decent tight end, and I don't know necessarily that I see this here. Granted, yes, they have a defense, but the heart and soul of that defense, Dante Hightower, is will they be able to maintain that level of play? They very well could be a top 10 defense, but I'll tell you right now, if the defense slides even to top 10, I don't know necessarily that that's going to be enough to overtake the Bills. I think the Bills are going to be a double-digit win team this year. And I think this is going to be the first year you see that all these years of the Patriots drafting and really excluding offensive skill position players, this is going to be the first year it really starts to bite them. You know, I know they have Sonny Michel. If Sonny Michel can stay healthy, that's going to be a huge coup for them. But, you know, with the average quarterback, you can't rotate 12 running backs in and it just always look peaches and cream. So I'm definitely interested to see how this division plays out, but I have the Bills as the top dog in this division. That's my opinion. Anybody have anything else that they want to add to this division?
I'm not letting slide out of there with that. I'm not. You're saying the Carolina Panthers offense is better than the Patriots offense?
No, what I said was the Panthers offense, when Cam Newton was the quarterback there, I think was a better offense than what he currently has in New England. If you look at the pieces around him, you're talking about Christian McCaffrey. You're talking about Greg Olsen at the tight end position, who was younger at that time. You had a young DJ Moore. You could add Travis Benjamin if you want. No, he's not great now, but he was pretty good there. And I'm saying, what do they have in New England that makes you think, oh, you know what, that's a weapon?
Hold
it's
on.
Their running back.
DJ
have,
Moore, wait, hold on. DJ Moore or Edelman? Who's bigger in the offense? DJ Moore or Edelman?
I don't know. We'll see. Edelman's coming off of an injury. Anytime you're coming off of a leg or foot injury like that and you're a slot guy, I'm not going to buy the hype until I see him play.
Okay, fair enough. And the running backs by committee compared to Christian McCaffrey by himself, because there's a stable in that backfield. It's not just Tony Michelle.
I understand that. You know what? We could go through the names, James White. You could go, like I said, you could go through all the guys. My point is that the Patriots have literally won games the last couple of years with their running backs. And not because they're running the ball particularly effectively, because their running backs basically counter as a wide receiver. James White probably lines up outside as an X receiver as much as any running back in the league. And that's a huge coup that he can do that. But at the same time, when you don't have Tom Brady back there and you have to win games based on the talent that you have on the field, and now you're missing 2/5 of your starting offensive line from last year, I'm just saying everybody should temper their expectations a little bit.
I will say this. Cam Newton's best years in Carolina was with Steve Smith and Greg Olsen. I mean, those are two very good players, and obviously he still had his running ability. But I don't see those options in New England. And that's why – but I still believe Bill Belichick is going to use what he has, and I'm curious to see what they come out and do because he doesn't have – like you said, I agree with Brian on it was a better suited position in Carolina because they built around him. Well, the Patriots aren't built around Cam Newton. They just added him to it, and he's better than what they had. So here's what we got. You got to learn this. It's going to be interesting.
I will say this, and then we're going to put the thing to bed. You know, Josh McDaniels orchestrated an offense that really it's really dink and dunk, you know, kind of ball, you know, control and possession, this, that, and the third. That Cam can do that. Cam can also be Superman and put a team on his back and carry them. We've seen him do that. You know, so it's going to be very interesting to see what version of the New England Patriots and Cam Newton that we see. I will say this, and again, I said this earlier. I think this is the Bills' division, but don't expect the Patriots to fall over and just play dead because again, this is Bill Belichick, and he has an ego and he has something to prove. You know, Tom Brady went to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and everybody has them in the Super Bowl because, you know, Tom Brady. You think Bill Belichick is going to be like, yo, hold on a second, playboy. I'm part of this whole thing, too. So it's going to be interesting to see how it out.
Guys, there's one other interesting thing that I do want to point out, and I'm sure this is something that basically the masses know, but when you don't put it into context, you don't think about it. Since Tom Brady has been the quarterback in New England, the Patriots have won, you ready? 82% of their conference games. Like Norm said earlier, they're getting out to a 5-1, 6-0 before they play anybody else because of how porous this division has been over the last 10 years. No disrespect to the Bills. I know that they're definitely on their way up. But the thing is, if people think that they're going to win, you know, 11, 12 games like they've done in the past, I just don't see it. I don't think the division is better. Buffalo is better. Miami is better. New York is better. I'm not saying these guys are gangbusters, but what I'm saying is the gap is definitely closing. And then you take the 8 guys that are, you know, starters and essential players, and you remove them from the roster, I think things got very interesting in the AFC East. That's all I'm going to say. Anybody have anything else before we move on?
No, let's go
all
over
right.
And give let's get on to the Steelers.
Let's move on now. The last division, AFC North, before we go to the NFC. And I think this one's actually really interesting. Here's my take, guys. Baltimore 14-2. Latest power rankings have them ranked number 2. Obviously, they weren't in the Super Bowl, but their offense was prolific. They were the number one. They were the number one rushing attack by like 50 yards. They were very prolific offense. 14-2 record, best record in football. But I got to tell you, Pittsburgh just missed the playoffs. Chris, I know you're going to chime in on this. They're the only team that didn't make the playoffs that had a top five defense. Minka Fitzpatrick completely solidified that secondary. This team was number four defensively and number 30 offensively. They get Big Ben back. The year before Big Ben got hurt, they were number one in the red zone and they were a top five offense. If Big Ben can even be a top 10, help this team become a top 10 offense, the sky's the limit. I mean, literally, they could win this division. And that's not mentioning a guy like Stephon Tuitt, who's an integral piece on the defensive tackle at the defensive tackle to get pressure. He was out all of last year. Now, they have injuries, serious, as I'm sure you're going to allude to. Their offensive line has been banged up. It sounds like Castro may not be ready for week one. Baltimore's looking good, but they don't have Judon. They don't have their best pass rusher from last year. Cleveland has also made some additions. You know, Joe Burrow, he's a sexy pick now. So with all that said, I'm gonna go ahead and set the table first for Ty.
Brian, what's your thoughts
on the Ravens?
Go ahead, Ty.
What's up, Norm?
Well, no, I was going to say I wanted to start this one off because I just have a really – I don't watch this division much, and I just wanted to get my quick input out real quick. Okay, so I think Baltimore is still the crown jewel there. I think they're going to slip a little. I think you're going to see more like 11-12 win campaign. Really after that, it's a crapshoot. I think the Bengals with Joe Burrow are still sub-average, but I just wanted to point out, the Pittsburgh, I'm not buying it. I'm seeing more of like a 2-14 campaign from Pittsburgh this year. So,
absolutely. What's your thoughts?
You know what, Norm, I'm so happy with you. You know what? Anytime you need the keys to the kitchen, you want to make a sandwich, you want to make a meal, just let me know. You can do whatever you want in the kitchen. I'm just letting you know.
That was comical. That made me laugh. Appreciate that. That was funny.
So, Timeless, what's your thoughts? Are the Steelers going to go 2-14?
Great answer, Norm. Great answer. I feel like I'm on Family Feud clapping. Like, it's like I need my brother to get this answer right. I want it to be number one because I'm going to come up in here screaming, aha. No, I ain't going to do that for serious. I don't think 2-14, that's brutal. If the Steelers go 2-14, I'm going to go. I got to personally go to Virginia. Like, I'm going to have to, like, give him some, like, chocolate. Some roses. I'm gonna have to kindred that boy's spirit because I'm so serious and go crazy. But I don't think that they're a 2-14 team. However, I do fight. I think they will fight for 8-8, 9-7 because Bennett Older, he sat out a whole season and he tore the ligament in his throwing elbow. So like that's tough. Like I don't know what type of bounce back, but that's probably the toughest quarterback I've ever seen in Ben Roethlisberger. But in that division, I really still feel like it's the Baltimore Ravens, and I really feel like this is a situation where Lamar Jackson has to take a lot of all of his critical criticism personally, where they said he wasn't throwing the ball. I think he was throwing the ball well this season. It wasn't like he had a whole bunch of interceptions or something. He won the MVP, but a lot of people pick on him. They find anything to nitpick with him. He's only been in the league for 2 years and was able to do that in his second season. So I feel like he's going to see – more of what the blitz packages and defensive coverages that he saw. Hollywood Brown is there, so he has a big target outside. And, of course, Mark Andrews, the tight end. I really feel like the only team that will probably contend with them are the Browns. I think Cleveland will probably be more of the team that could compete with them. Pittsburgh is going to have to show me that they can play consistent ball and win. Not even just to be a team that to be reckoned with because they're the Pittsburgh Steelers. And I feel bad in saying this. I think Tomlin may have to watch out, too, because of all of the chances that they have given him with no real fire behind him. So I think Cincinnati's still in the uphill situation. Burrow may have been good in college, but it's different in the league. So I want to see if he's able to make that transition, especially with the pieces that he has, even though he has some speedsters there and some playmakers. But I think Cincinnati's still bottom of the barrel, but I don't think the Steelers will be 2-14. But if they are, Norm, I'll buy you a plane ticket. We'll fly out to Virginia. We'll sing Kumbaya to you.
That's good.
I will tell you, man, just as a side note, I can't imagine Tomlin being in that much trouble. I got to tell you guys, I hear what you're saying. I'm not saying it's not logical, but also remember the franchise you're talking about. The Steelers have had three head coaches in their entire existence.
That's crazy.
Tomlin's done a good job. I think you could have made an argument for how bad, I mean, literally horrific the offense was last year. I mean, clearly Mason Rudolph is not the answer, which is the reason why they claimed on waivers Josh Dobbs again, got him back from Jacksonville. But, I mean, as prolifically bad as their offense was last year, if we had the same format last year as we did this year, the Steelers would have made the playoffs. I mean, that's just something to think about. So with that said, Sirius, give me your thoughts on this division. Is the Ravens still the cream of the crop, and is there going to be any other playoff teams from this division?
You know, there's going to be two playoff teams from this division, honestly. I really, as much as I want to poo-poo and crap on Baltimore, I just can't. You know, I mean, their RPO-style offense and everything really – It's tailor-made for Lamar Jackson and tailor-made for that offense. And then they went out and picked up, you know, J.K. Dobbins from Ohio State, who ran the same type of style in Ohio State. That defense is going to fly around. So, I mean, I have to give credit where credit is due. You know, I mean, they're going to be in the thick of things, and I expect them to ultimately win this division. With that being said, we were 8-8 ball club with a dude named Duck Dodgers throwing ducks, and Mason Rudolph trying to throw with half of a head. You know, Big Ben is back, and I honestly believe that with him back and, you know, a motivated Juju and Connor healthy, I honestly believe that the sky's the limit for us. I'm not going to give the typical, you know, 14 win, you know, Steeler prediction, but I do expect us to definitely, you know, be a 10-1 ball club and, you know, want to compete there. You know, I mean, barring health, but 2-14, that was cute. I appreciate that, gentlemen. I appreciate that.
Well, we're gonna learn a lot week one for sure. I mean, maybe he's saying you don't think Big Ben's gonna stay healthy the whole year because we already seen what happens without Big Ben, but. Yeah, I can't agree with you, Sirius. I see the Ravens and the Steelers as the cream of the crop. I'm just not sold on Baker Mayfield. Not a very accurate quarterback. They've got all the weapons, everything you could possibly want, but they just don't move the needle for me. Their defense is dysfunctional at best. Their offense can't move the ball. I need Cleveland to prove it to me. And, you know, I get Burrow's the hype and A.J. Green's back and all that, but I still expect them to finish last. I think they probably have 4 or 5 wins. So I see two teams coming out of this division. Any final thoughts, boys, before we move to the NFC?
Yes, definitely. Wait, hold on, Brian. We do have history here. We have Sports City Chef history here in the kitchen. This is the very first time that Sirius confessed that Baltimore is better than Pittsburgh. This is unreal. Like I don't even. You can drop like a bomb or something. Like I don't even know what you're up to, Brian. Like, you have to understand what just happened here. Like we are witnessing this happen in the kitchen. You don't understand what just happened. This is 11 years of madness of black and yellow, and he confessed. Fell to one knee like T'Challa just beat him at the waterfall. Like, this is what happened. Shout out to Chadwick Boseman. Yes, to the great Chadwick Boseman.
It sounds like what you're telling me is, like Louie, our caller earlier, that Sirius also has two favorite teams.
Exactly. That's exactly what I heard, Brian. That's exactly what we heard this on air. We heard this live on air, Sports City. Sports City, Sirius is switching.
Wow.
He is switching up right now. He has black and purple instead of black and yellow, people. He has black and purple, people. It's no longer black and yellow. This is great stuff.
Wow.
Listen, it's going to snow this summer, you know.
We might need you to sing the song. You know what it is? Black and purple, black and purple.
Black and yellow, black and yellow, black and yellow, black and yellow.
So we can
Let's
post
go,
that on Sports City Chefs, you know what I mean?
Uh-oh.
All right, boys.
Yes.
So let's talk about the NFC West. Let's talk about the NFC West. A lot of people are saying, and like I said last year, I think this is the toughest division in football. You could very, very easily see three teams coming out of this division playoff-wise, but with them beating each other up, it's not likely. So with that said, Norm, let me come to you first. San Francisco, Seattle, Los Angeles, and Arizona. How do you see this division shaking out this year?
The 49ers, I still think, are the top dogs in that division. And Jimmy G is always going to be the one that everyone focuses on. But their defense is so good at putting pressure. Their defense is so good at creating turnovers and just three and outs that they give the offense so many opportunities. And they're very run first, and they do a great job of it offense. And Jimmy G makes the throws. So I don't see the 49ers falling far off from what they did last year. I mean, they're right in that 12-4, 13-3 zone, and they should easily contend again. Their defense is just a really good driving force, and I don't think there's – the problem is as offenses try to figure out, okay, we're going to expose this, they don't have the time because Bosa's in your face that quick. So that defense is going to keep them top-notch. Seattle is always right there because of Russell Wilson. But, I mean, I think we've seen for the last 2 years it's been all Russell Wilson. And at what point does he get tired? Can he keep doing it? I think he's still young enough. I think he still will. But did they really get better this year? I can't say. I don't follow them that closely. But nothing stood out to me like they got better. So Seattle, you know, maybe in that 10-6, 11-5 range. But it's all dependent on Russell Wilson. The Rams are a big, big question mark. Obviously, Aaron Donald. They got Jalen Ramsey. They got this good defense. They believe in Goff. He's all about the play action. I don't know what they're going to do, but they're the big X factor right there. If they steal some wins from the interdivision teams and they play tough, they could slip in, or they could fall flat on their face, and we all realize Sean McVay was just another Chip Kelly, you know. And then the Cardinals, Kyler Murray, I'm not believing it until I see it. And even if he has two really good games and runs around, does this and that, that's great. Show me 10, 11 wins, and then I'll chip into you, kid. But I'm not buying Kyler Murray.
All right, interesting. I will say, as far as the Rams are concerned, one thing that is worth noting, a lot of people get down on Sean McVay. You know, I hear a lot of sentiments like what you're saying, Norm. People forget, in the 3 years he's been a head coach of the Rams, they've had a winning record every year, including last year when they went 9-7. So, I mean, this is a team that's 1 year removed from being in the Super Bowl. So they're in the exact same position. They were in the exact same position last year that the Niners will be this year. So, Sirius, I'm going to come over to you. How do you see this division playing out? And here's the real question that fans want to know. Who's the second best quarterback in this division?
You know, honestly, man, y'all gonna laugh at me when I say this, but I mean, for real, I think San Fran's gonna be in the picture. But y'all better start throwing some respect on Arizona's name, like real talk. Like, you don't get Kyler Murray in year two. You don't get a megastar in DeAndre Hopkins to pair with Christian Kirk and Larry Legend. And not drastically improve your chances of success. So my breakdown is going to be pretty simple. It's going to be San Fran. You know, I can't even get San Fran that number one right now. You know, here on Sports City, I'm gonna keep it funky. It's going to be Seattle, Arizona, San Fran, Rams, in that order.
Wow.
It's going to be Seattle, wow, Arizona, San Fran, and then the Rams. And honestly, man, I'm going to be the buck. I think this is the year that really solidifies Russell Wilson's gangster. I really like his game. I really like what he was able to acquire.
DK Metcalf in year two, Tyler Lockett, you know, endorsement for me to go out and pick up a defensive thumper and a defensive juggernaut and Adams. I really think that's really going to really help them out. And I said Arizona, man. Really saw Arizona, underrated defense. You go add a mega star to pair with, you know, Kyler Murray and company. I think, honestly, this Super Bowl hangover people talk about is for real. It really is real. No disrespect to that defense that they got over there in San Fran. I've never been a fan of Jimmy G. You know what I'm saying? You know, Debo Samuel, I think, is starting out on hurt right now. And then they went out and got a rookie and I cook, you know, which I like, but we have no idea what's going on. You know what I'm saying? You know, Kittle is a beast, but again, it is what it is. And then Sean McVay and all his fancy jargon and this, that, and the third, their defense really hasn't gotten any better. It's going to be a hell of a division. Hell of a division, but I think at the end of the day, Seattle wants it.
All right, interesting stuff. Ty, what's your thoughts on how that division plays out? Do you see Arizona in the number two slot like Sirius?
Well, he did it earlier in his show, so I'm going to do the same thing. Usually I don't agree with Sirius, you know, because I just don't like this dude because he's from the Metro. You know what I'm saying? But I might agree with him right now with your Arizona talk. You mean to tell me they just gave DeAndre $54 million? They just gave that boy $54 million. I'm not going to lie. I'm a DeAndre Hopkins diehard. I love that kid, and I fell in love with him because of the story. The way that they did his mother, she blind. Every time he scored, he gave her the ball. I fell in love. Like that was like a tearjerker. So it's like I want to see him be successful. I hope he scored 32 touchdowns in the season so he can bring her the ball twice. You know what I'm saying? And this is potentially Larry Fitzgerald last season, when I've been begging for the last two seasons for him to get a good season to go out on. They went 3-13 one season, and whatever they did last year, it's like that's not the proper way to send Larry Fitzgerald, a legend, a great, off the right way. So I'm hoping that they do good and they have a quality quarterback back there. Norm, I don't know why you keep picking on Kyler, and he only had one season and he did as best as he could with the offense that they had. And looking at I'm confused with the Rams, because if you look at the Rams, why did you get rid of Todd Gurley? Like, what's your running scheme like right now? And San Francisco, Brian, I love you. Brian Quincy, I love you. But you mean to tell me this is the same coach, what, 3 years ago? That was up, what, 28-3 and started passing the ball and lost the Super Bowl? This is the same coach that had the San Francisco 49ers up with 10 points and 6 minutes left on the clock, and 40 to lose the Super Bowl again. It's almost like the movie American Pie when he touched Nadia's leg and said, "Not again." And it happened again. This is the same guy. This is the same guy. Even after the game, Tyrann Mathieu, Honey Badger, said when they started passing, he said, "Thank God." He said that on air. Shanahan, you got a lot of points to prove right now. I don't know if you could get San Francisco back to the Super Bowl, but if you don't, everybody needs to look at you, and I just want to more or less say your football IQ. Seattle, I can never count Russell Wilson. I don't care what nobody say. This guy still gets it done. I just feel bad once his athleticism declines, once he's not able to be as quick and fast to, like, defenses coming to him. That's when I think they'll find a decline. But as long as he's a way to elude defenders, he's crazy, especially with DK Metcalf in his second year, a monster. They got Greg Olsen now. Greg Olsen's a tight end in that system, too. I'm a diehard Hurricane fan, which y'all all know. So Seattle could be the best or second seeded. Arizona, it's a toss-up between Arizona and San Francisco, because San Francisco lost some pieces, too, but I still feel like San Francisco is a strong team to be reckoned with. But all of that stuff that Shanahan did two out of the past three seasons in the biggest game ever in a football season, I'm not buying it. He has a lot of points to prove to me. And the Rams, I mean, McVay, you're a strong offensive mind, but getting rid of Gurley while your offense was already having some question marks and everything is basically dependent on number 99. If you don't know who 99 is, Google him. You'll understand. So I think the Rams, they got work to do. Second-rated quarterback, This is tough. That's a very good question. I really want to throw Garoppolo there, but if Kyler Murray comes out there steaming, that's a toss-up. But all three of them, Goff, Kyler, and Garoppolo, that's a very interesting question.
And that dude from that was 99 came from Pittsburgh, just an FYI.
Yeah.
Just an FYI.
So you're a Baltimore fan now.
Yeah, come on, punch in your throat, son. You came from your rival.
Dude,
too.
That's below the belt.
So here's how I feel about the division, and you know what? Like everybody else says, you know what? I may be biased, but I'm going to keep it 100. I think that the Seahawks have the best secondary, quite possibly in the league, but definitely the division. Over the last 12 months, they've traded for Quinn Dunbar and Jamal Adams. That's the safety tandem they have in the back. Then you got Shaquem Griffin and Jamal Taylor as your corners. That's a really, really good secondary. Their linebackers are getting a little bit long in the tooth, but my question mark has always been and will continue to be their offensive line and how they protect Russell Wilson, and they have no pass rush, guys. They don't have one guy on their roster. And granted, I understand, you know, everybody knows potential gets coaches fired. They got a bunch of guys that potential this, potential that. They don't have one guy on their roster that had more than 5 sacks last year. Nobody. Everybody that they've had that was worth a damn, they've either traded or not been able to sign, like Clowney. So with that said, my question is when you get in those tight games like we saw with San Francisco and Seattle late in the game and you need to generate a pass rush, how are they going to be able to do that? They won 7 games last year by 7 points or less. And when you can't generate a pass rush, that could be a problem. I'm just saying that. I just want to throw that out there. My take on San Francisco, they lost to Forrest Buckner in the middle, which is an absolute blow. Nobody can say it's not. He's a double-digit sack guy as a defensive tackle. They lost Emmanuel Sanders, who was the veteran presence wide receiver. But they did just activate Deebo Samuel from the PUP list, so he is activated. He's more than likely going to play week one. Brandon Ayuk got activated, so he's more than likely going to play week one. But once again, rookie. But the thing that I'm the most excited about, that I don't think anybody here other than maybe Norm has even gotten a glimpse to see, Dee Ford is completely healthy. He's practiced the entire offseason and all of training camp, did not take any practices off, says he feels better than he has in years. He played in 7 games last year, guys, and if you look at the pass rushing splits, when Dee Ford was on the field as opposed to when he wasn't, it's mind-blowing. So you talk about Dee Ford and Bosa coming after your quarterback on a team that averaged 30 points a week last year. I think the 49ers are still the cream of the crop in this division. That's my opinion. I think they're the most complete team. Because here's the thing. I love everything that you guys said about Arizona. Everything. I love DeAndre Hopkins. I'm a huge fan of the man. He's my favorite wide receiver. As Ty said, I think he's the most complete receiver. I've said for the last 2 years, I thought he was the best wide receiver, even when Antonio Brown was still here. But here's the deal. You can have a great offense that doesn't make up for the fact that you were 32nd in the league last year in stopping the pass. They can't stop the pass. And you got Russell Wilson in this division. You've got Garoppolo and Kittle in this division. You've got Goff and Kupp and Brandon Woods. And, I mean, there is so many weapons that they have to stop on offense or on defense. The only way Arizona's winning games this year is to just completely outscore teams because they've done really nothing to improve their defensive secondary. Yeah, they picked up a nice piece in Phillips, the defensive tackle, who had 9 sacks last year. So, like I said, you know, defense, a pass rush definitely helps. But they've done nothing to improve their secondary or their linebacking core. It's definitely something that you have to think about and consider. I love what Seattle's done. I really do. Their secondary is going to be stingy. But let's be honest, like Ty said, if San Francisco is going to beat you, how are they going to do it? They're literally going to bludgeon you to death and run the ball down your throat, like they did against Minnesota, like they did against Kansas City for the first 3.5 quarters, That's how they're going to win. That's their,
identity. And Green Bay.
Thank you. And Green Bay. That's how they're going to beat you. And my concern for the other teams in this division is none of the other teams in this division rank in the top 10 in stopping the run. Arizona was the best team at stopping the run, but they're so bad versus the pass that they almost have to help back there. That's my thoughts. Russell Wilson is always a threat to win the division because of just how good he is as an individual. But I just always feel like I kind of feel like it's like the Tom Brady syndrome. Like, they know you're so good, so they're just going to continue to focus on defense and just hope that you elevate the guys like DK Metcalf and Tyler Lockett and Chris Carson and all these guys around you that were either undrafted rookies like Carson or guys that got elevated like Metcalf that was, you know, dropped out of the first round that ended up being good, maybe in large part because of Wilson. So what I'm going to say is, and I do think it's worth noting that the Rams had a little bit of a down year last year, but you could easily make the argument that they're the most complete team from top to bottom. When you look at their corners, I mean, don't forget that they traded for Jalen Ramsey. They've got some really good safety help back there. They've got Aaron Donald that's perennially a 20-sack guy that you almost always have to double-team on the inside. So it'll be interesting to see how it plays out. I have it finishing, and I could totally see the middle teams flipping, but I have the division finishing San Francisco 1, Los Angeles Rams 2, Seattle 3, and Arizona 4, but I have every single team in this division with at least 7 wins. It's going to be super close. I don't think you're going to see a 13-win team out of this division just because I think they're going to kind of beat each other up. That's my thoughts. Anybody have anything closing on this before we move on to the next division?
Yeah,
Seattle's in third.
I've got Seattle in third tie because the two glaring holes that I mentioned, their offensive line is an issue. It was an issue last year, and it's even more of an issue this year. They lost one of their guards. And the fact that they don't have a pass rush. Not re-signing Clowney is going to prove to be a bigger deal to them than a coup that it would have been to anyone else, like the Saints or Tennessee or anyone else. They do not have a pass rusher that can help them get off the field. And like I said, they played in 7 games last year where they won by 7 points or less. Those games could have easily went the other way, and this could have been a sub-500 team. I'm just saying, it was that close last year. You look at their point differential, San Francisco had a +169 point differential. The Rams had +30. Seattle was +7. They won a lot of really, really tight games. And it's like I said, it's worth noting that because the Rams finished 9-7, and they were four times better in point differential. I think it's worth noting that. So that's why I got them in third. So let's move on. The NFC North, you got the Green Bay Packers, the Vikings, the Chicago Bears, and the Detroit Lions. I'm going to make a really bold prediction in this particular conference. So I'll go ahead and go first, and then I'm going to throw this over to Norm. So thought a lot about this, and I could be completely out of left field, and some people are going to say I'm crazy, and I'm fine with that. But I've got this division playing out Minnesota Vikings 1, Detroit Lions 2, Green Bay Packers 3, and the Chicago Bears 4, and here's why I have this way. Aaron Rodgers reminds me a little bit, not a lot, a little bit, of Jay Cutler. He's got a little bit of the pouty guy mentality. They didn't do anything to assist him or help him on the offensive side. That's going to carry over into the season. You're going to start to see issues between him and LaFleur. They did nothing to help their defensive line or their linebacking core. Matter of fact, they actually lost Blake Martinez, who was their best run-tackling linebacker. So a team that got absolutely gashed last year has 3 teams in their division who I believe are going to be pretty good running teams. Minnesota's going to be a pretty good running team. Chicago's going to be a fairly good running team. And I think the team that's going to surprise some people this year is Detroit. I think Detroit, this is going to be the first year, and I haven't said it prior, previous years, but I think this will be the first year you see that Detroit actually is able to run the ball decently. They've got a good staple of backs. They've got a really good tight end in T.J. Hockenson. They have two legitimate wide receivers. And, Ty, I'm going to take it a step further because I know how much you hate it when people give praise to your team. I think Matthew Stafford throws for over 5,000 yards. I think he leads the NFL in passing yards, and that's why I have them finishing second in this division. I have them at 9-7. Green Bay just cannot stop the run. I think that the book is now out on them. I think you're going to see Green Bay have some issues to score because they didn't do a lot to help Aaron Rodgers. And what are teams going to do? They're going to look to the playoffs. They're going to see what the Niners did to them and see how they defended them. And I think you're going to see Aaron Rodgers and Green Bay struggle a little bit. Norm, I'm going to throw it over to you.
Yeah, no, it's funny. I mean, I have a really hard time endorsing Detroit just because Matt Patricia's still pretty new there, and I'm not buying into him. But I do like Stafford. Stafford's always been great. You can say whatever you want about him, but he's always produced. Why Detroit doesn't win enough, I don't know. I'm not qualified enough to say why, but they've always had a lot of roots right there that could do good. And I'm sorry, I'm not a Kirk Cousins fan. I'm not a Vikings fan on that. I think if you had to just say based on roster and momentum from last year, they're the favorite pick. But I'll be honest with you, all four of those teams are going to beat each other up, and I wouldn't be surprised if 9-7 won that division. And I actually like the Detroit pick. I really do. I do think same thing. What made Rodgers great, obviously he's got a good arm, precision passing, but his mobility, and that's gone down the last 2 years. We've seen it, and that's part of his poutiness. He's always been able to scramble, get away from the sack because he's got no O-line. Now he can't, so he just gets mad. And they didn't do anything to help that. So you're going to see Packers is still going to be in a lot of games. I don't see them winning a lot. I don't really like Minnesota. I don't think Kirk Cousins is a major winner. I don't think they did anything to get better. And Detroit, I mean, to be honest with you, even though I don't think they're that great, their defense can create some turnovers. Maybe Trubisky does something well. They might push a little. I think this is a complete crapshoot division. But I'll tell you right now, there's been one consistent, and that's been Stafford. The guy keeps throwing for yards, and if Patricia has them going forward rather than backwards, they actually could win this division. I think that's a sneaky little pick there, Brian.
All right, I'm going to throw this over to Sirius. Sirius, what's your thoughts on the NFC North?
You know what, for starters, I think the Detroit Lions are going to go 2-14. just because.
Hey, I'm surprised you gave him 2 wins.
Oh, boy. So, anyways, real talk, man, real talk. Honestly, man, I'm really feeling what you guys are talking about as far as this division. All jokes aside, I think the Packers finish bottom of this division. I really do. I don't care if they have Aaron Rodgers. I don't care. They did nothing, and I emphasize this, nothing, to improve themselves. You know what I'm saying? Aaron Rodgers, the offensive line, is not up to par. It's not really decent. Aaron Rodgers has been running for his life. He really hasn't played a full 16 in a long time, and they only got one receiver in Devontae Adams. I'm not buying it. You know what I'm saying? So all jokes aside, as much as I want Detroit Lions to stay at the bottom of the division just so I can keep talking trash to time and all them, yeah, it's a wrap. I think this is the year they climb out of the cellar. And Green Bay down there. I think the third team in the division are the Chicago Bears. Who the hell is playing quarterback? You know, I mean, I know week one, Mr. Trubisky's getting the nod, but, you know, how much longer until, you know, it's Nick Foles and, you know, and the set and the third. So the second team in this division, fuck it. Nah,
Detroit's the number two team in the division. I can't have them go from first to worst. I can't have that. My phone will not stop blowing up. My Facebook will be lit up like on the 4th of July. I can't have that. Yo, real talk. Y'all don't understand how this man teases me like this, man. It hurts my feelings. So Detroit's going to be the second team in this division. Just on the sheer focus of the fact that I can't stand Thomas. And the first team is going to be Minnesota, man. The first team is going to be Minnesota.
I'm going to throw this over to you. I do think that this is one thing to consider with teams like the Packers, like New Orleans, that will be coming up here in a moment. You know, with COVID-19, you know, that home field advantage that they're so accustomed to and the crowd noise, you know, even the Chiefs, you know, it's obviously not going to be the same. So I wonder if that plays in at all to your decision. But how do you see this NFC North playing out?
Man, listen, I love all of the love that the boys are receiving right now. Y'all know I love it, but the crazy part is Brian know me best. I don't like when y'all do it. So I don't feel good when they get good praises. I like to just watch it happen because I know karma. She lives, like, right outside of my door. She has a tent, and she's waiting for me to talk junk. So I'm chilling, right? So I'm leaving it alone as best as possible. But I am gonna get on this soapbox and talk a little junk because I am happy to see that we did get Adrian Peterson. And Adrian Peterson can kind of school the stable as best as possible. I'm mad that Bo Scarborough did suffer an injury, so that's how we were able to pick up Adrian Peterson. But Bo Scarborough is still in the roster, so I'm happy that they're able to work that. And they also still have Swift out of Georgia that everybody's high on. I'm a big Kerryon Johnson fan, so I like the running back situation. There is no way in this earth that Green Bay finishes worse than Chicago. If Chicago has a better season than Green Bay, I'll send you a $100 gift card to Cheesecake Factory. You and my sister-in-law, y'all can go eat on me. If Green Bay comes in fourth place in the division and Chicago has a better record than Green Bay, Cheesecake Factory on me. I don't think they finished that way. I still feel like Aaron Rodgers is the Debo of the division. Like, people got to tuck their chain in because he will come and get your chain. I still respect him. I still worry about him. Every two times we play him, he could pull off the miraculous, even with that Hail Mary that they should not have called because of that bullcrap fake face mask or whatever. Aaron Rodgers can make anything happen with nobody. Like, all of us could go out there on the field and play for him, and he'll still make plays happen. So I think Green Bay will be in at least the top two, top three, until proven otherwise. The Vikings have put so many weapons on that team. It's going to be hard to slow the Vikings down, and that's my mother's team. So I have to hear this all season long because she'll tell me how good her Vikings are doing, and I can't stand it because it's like not only are they a rival, but they good, and my mother talk more junk than a little bit. So it's like I don't want to hear the Vikings, but they got Jefferson out of LSU. They got my boy Auburn out of the University of Miami. They got weapons. It's up to Kirk Cousins. But back to Detroit. I don't care what nobody say, and Norm, this is for you right here, Matthew Stafford. If you don't get this done, all fingers point at you. They worked on the offensive line. They put weapons around you. They made sure you had a running game. I don't know about 5,000 yards passing. I don't know if he'll get that with the running back that he has behind him. I think that the running backs will take a lot of pressure off of him. I think the running game will be a good issue for the Lions. So I don't think that passing total will be that high. If Stafford is able to do that with the running back behind him, we might be able to come for the NFC, and not just the North. We might be able to come for that title. So I'm going to take it easy right now. I'm going to chill. The defense is another issue, especially on the back end in that secondary. We lost Slay, so I'm worried about that in the secondary. Patricia, you got to show yourself. You're supposed to be a quote-unquote rocket scientist on the defensive side of the ball. We need stops. We need pass breakups. We need turnovers. You got to prove that now.
Boys, we are running dangerously low on time here. I know we've enjoyed the breakdown of the divisions. We do still have two left, so I'm going to ask you boys to try to answer these questions quickly so we can hopefully get through these divisions and then hopefully try to pick games here real quick. NFC East, I have it Dallas, Eagles, Giants, Washington. Only change being at the top. I think Dallas takes the top slot. I like Lamb as the number two receiver. Anybody have the Eagles winning this division? Okay, silence helps. Let's go on to the NFC South. I think this division is definitely interesting. You've got the Saints, the Atlanta Falcons, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and the Carolina Panthers. I don't think anybody, and if I'm wrong, speak up, but I don't think anybody believes the Panthers are going to win this division. I don't believe anybody believes the Falcons are going to win the division. So those two would be your lower-tier teams. Who believes New Orleans is going to win this division?
I still like the Saints.
Wait. Yeah, yeah, the Saints. The Saints are a problem, and you cannot count out Atlanta. I think they put on another addition in the receiver core. Julio is still a problem. There's no way that you could just fully count Atlanta out. And they have Todd Gurley, the running back that I just spoke about. So they have a running game if he's healthy. Do not count the Falcons out. You cannot just overlook them.
Well,
that's not fair. That's not fair.
I get it. I'm just saying I don't think anybody is going to pick them to win the division is what I'm getting at. I think it's going to come down to with us four, primarily either Tampa Bay or New Orleans. It sounds like, Ty, you and Norm are on New Orleans. Ty, just give me a quick snippet on why you think New Orleans wins the division.
Well, no, I'm not saying New Orleans. I'm just saying this. Tampa Bay is no given to win the division, and the reason why I'm saying that is because their defense is an issue. Their defense is an issue. Brady's going to have to go shot for shot. I'm not totally sold into Drew Brees in that offense right now. I'm pissed with Drew Brees, and people that know me know why. So I gave up on Drew Brees. Even though they don't want to re-sign Kamara, they feel some type of way about Kamara. I'm like, why? Why wouldn't they dump a whole bunch of money into this guy? He's been doing a lot with that offense. But it could be a three-wheel situation, Atlanta, New Orleans, or Tampa Bay. I'm not going to count Brady completely out, even though they're giving him a ton of weapons, including Leonard Fournette. And the Saints you got to worry about, but it's a three-man race. I don't have a team yet.
All right, New Orleans. Norm, I'm going to come over to you. You clearly said New Orleans. Just give me a quick snippet. Why do you think New Orleans wins this division?
Because I said so.
All right, that's pretty quick. Serious. I know you're a Tampa Bay guy. I know I picked earlier in the year. I said the same thing. I think the Bucs would win. There's no reason to be repetitive. Why do you think the Bucs win this division? Okay.
I think you might have lost them.
Yeah, I think we might have lost. I think we might have lost Sirius. Okay, well, I'll just say this. I think I like Tampa Bay because of the weapons. So you look at they have two legitimate tight ends in Tyler Bray and O.J. Howard. You have Evans, you have Godwin, you have Gronkowski. It's going to be incredibly difficult to defend all those weapons on offense. And let's be honest, when the game is on the line and you're down by three and you need a touchdown, I don't think there's anybody you'd rather have the ball other than maybe Mahomes than Tom Brady. This is what he was brought in for, is to make this team a winner. And this is basically what he's here for, is to make this team a winner. So it'll be interesting to see how that plays out, Ty. Guys, we are up against it time-wise, and unfortunately I do have some other obligations. So we're going to have to try and have something later in the week to predict shows or something. But unfortunately, guys, that's all the time that we have for tonight. Ty, I'm going to come to you first. Give me a final thought here. We did a complete breakdown of the entire NFC and AFC conferences. We gave predictions on winners and the reasons why. I really appreciate you joining us tonight. Give me a final thought here before we close up.
Yeah, man, I'm happy that the kitchen's open back up. Brian said something later in the week, so pay attention to all of the Sports City pages, including on Twitter. I'm going to try to schedule something. If not, I'm going to get the brunch up and running for Sunday so we can get some of the picks in before the game start off. I'm happy we were able to get in here. Love the Detroit love. I'm still mad at you, Norm, that you guys were able to bring the ticket back home or the rings or the jewelry, whatever, but Kansas City Chiefs, as y'all unveil your banner on Thursday night. And, good running for everybody, man. On that note, tell a friend to tell a friend. It's the Chefs again. And if they don't know, now they know.
Thank you, TP. I appreciate you joining us. Sirius, we got you back, or? All right. Unfortunately, guys, we don't have Sirius. I just want to say thank you to Sirius for joining us. I appreciate you repping your squad, the Ravens. We do appreciate that. Norm, I'm going to shoot this on over to you, man. Final thoughts. We went over the complete NFL schedule, standings, where teams are going to finish and why. What's your thoughts?
Just happy to have football back, man. I can't wait for Thursday. I do feel like Kansas City is going to come out and win the game. I feel like they're going to win by double digits. They're going to fire on all cylinders. But you know what? Just like all our predictions right now, we don't know anything until after about 4 or 5 weeks. But good to be back, and God bless football.
Well, unfortunately, guys, that's all the time that we have tonight. Any callers that called in that weren't able to get in, I do apologize. Like Ty said, we will definitely have a show later in the week, and we will make it a point to try and get some more of you callers in. I do appreciate it. I hope you guys enjoyed the show. That's all of us from here at the Sports City Chefs Network. Tune in this weekend. Later in the week, we'll have some prediction shows for you, I promise. All right. As Ty says, tell a friend to tell a friend, it's the chefs again. And if they didn't know, now they know.
Out there for their purchase. We surely appreciate it. Woo!